Thanks, Don. Hey, everybody. Just enjoy listening. Don would not want to give that entire movie away. It's another boy movie this month, but it's a good movie. I have seen it in the past and I enjoyed it. So thank you, Jay, and your team for providing us with that movie watchers discussion group movie. So we're here. It's been a while, man. It's been a while. We're here to look at this book, The Way of Effortless Mindfulness, with Locke Kelly. Well, Locke's not going to be here. It's his book. He just got me. But to start, I'd like to do a glimpse practice. So, just to get us going here, I realize my study door is open and Tom is here, so I just want to close the door so we're not interrupted. One sec. Okay, and I'm just bursting at the seams to tell you, so I guess I'll tell you before we start our glimpse practice. I just got news back about they were doing an appraisal on this house, and the sale of this house is the buying of the condo in La Vida was contingent on the sale of this house. But anyway, so looks like that's all going through. We're going straight ahead. Yay! Yeah, so it looks like I will be a La Vida resident within the next couple weeks. There you go. Yay! I'm excited. Amen. All right. So, I was just reading Jay's comments about the movie. Another La Vida Loco or La Vita Local. Okay, so here we go. So I'm going to play some music. Dawn's going to do her usual thing where she tells me the music's too loud and I turn it down. So anyway, we're going to give that a shot. And share the sound and share the ugly screen. But you're going to have your eyes closed anyway, so don't worry about the screen. So, this one is called, and we've done this one before, but this is the one that I opened the book to, this Mindful Glimpse, and I love it. It's a good one. And it is called Relax the Problem Solver. So the music hadn't actually started yet, Dawn. It's getting ready to do that. It's creeping up there very slowly. There it is. So, Dawn's going to tell me how my voice sounds against this music. Can you hear me, Dawn? Can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. Sounds okay? Yeah, okay. So here's our mindful glimpse, Relax the Problem Solver. So, with eyes open or closed, ask yourself, what is here now when there is no problem solved? What is here now when there is no problem to solve? Let your awareness unhook from the problem solver. Drop, open, feel within and all around. Who is here? Is here when there is nowhere to go and nothing to do. Nothing to know or create or become. What is here just now when you are not the problem solver? Thank you, Shauna. That's sweet. I will invite you to share anything that you'd like to share about that mindful glimpse. If you care to share, I'd love to hear it. We'd all love to hear it.
I'll share.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just very... it was very simple to just allow that to happen. And also another chance to check on the sleepiness. So that was great. I really enjoyed that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oops.
Shani says she can't talk at the library. She says, but it was a very peaceful and allowing surrender. Thank you, Shauna. Good. And Regina, yes, please.
Yeah, well, of course, it was like a mini awareness washing awareness. But that you asked one question that I don't usually ask myself, and I really enjoyed it. I think the question was, where are you aware from? Mm. Yeah, I really enjoyed exploring that one because I typically don't. And so I intend to explore that question more in the future. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you. And Susan indicated that she wanted to share. See, her picture has disappeared. I don't know if she's still here.
I felt a strong pull inward, Jacqueline.
Hey, Jay, what did you say, hon?
I felt a strong pull inward just when you started talking. It was the music, and plus I think it was your intention to draw us in to that awareness point. I didn't actually, I kind of kept my eyes open doing it, but it was difficult to keep my eyes open.
Cool. Thank you, Jay. I will tell you that I've had a little bit of dizziness the last couple of days, and yesterday it occurred to me that it might be due to sinus issues. It's been really dry here. The furnace has been running a lot. Anyway, and then I went, and I looked it up, and they're like, yeah, that'll give you that whole vertigo thing. As I led you through this mindfulness glimpse, man, that got my vertigo got really bad, right? Because I kind of like, let go anyway. You let go of that anchor feeling. And so it was like, I spun out a little bit there. But but I didn't pass out. Here I am. Cheryl says, even though I was doing chores, my speaker is broadcasting throughout the house, and I'm practicing awareness while working. Very peaceful. Good, Cheryl. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. All right. And there's Susan. She's back. Hey, Susan, did you want to share? Oops, gone again.
There you are. I never can get these buttons right. Hi, everybody. That I have to tell you, some little minor miracle, maybe a big one, just happened because I've had a nagging situation the last couple of days. And a couple of times the phone has rung in the last hour and a half. And directly, I mean, right about the time that I was about to talk, the situation just resolved itself without my having to do much. So you talk about universal consciousness maybe in action, you know, who am I to say? But that was a beautiful meditation, and I was fully aware, and almost as if there was a lifting, even in that miniature little bit of time with you all. It was really amazing, and you know, proof is in the pudding, because the phone rang and I mean, right? So thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. And who was it that said either everything's a miracle or nothing is? Yeah. I often feel that way these days. Just amazed to see life flowing. And it's always flowing perfectly. And I am amazed to see everything just line up just the way it should. Einstein said that. Einstein and Jacqueline Eckert both said that. So there you go. Yeah. And Facebook said it. All right. Lovely. Okay, folks. Well, thank you for joining me in that. We'll see if we can't fit another one of those in before we end here today. I'm going to pick up with the reading from Locke Kelly's The Way of Effortless Mindfulness. We left off on page 37. We're beginning a section called Two Levels of Mind. He says, one simple way to distinguish the two types of mindfulness, and he's been talking about the difference between, what's he call it, deliberate mindfulness, yes, and which is mostly what goes on in the West, is deliberate mindfulness as contrasted with the effortless mindfulness technique that he's teaching us. He says one simple way to distinguish the two types of mindfulness is to say that they are both being mindful, but from different levels of mind. Again, there's that from word, right? From different levels of mind. This is important because what you can be mindful of depends on what level of mind you're mindful from. In effortless mindfulness, it is not as important to focus on what thoughts and emotions are arising, but rather to ask who or what level of mind are they arising to. In effortless mindfulness, we shift from focusing on what we are aware of into focusing on awareness itself, moving from a detached observer and into a view from interconnected, awake awareness. In deliberate mindfulness, we are aware from our mindful witness of things arising and passing. Effortless mindfulness invites us to be more intimately interconnected with our experience and all that is happening. This begins when we shift out of both our conceptual mind and our mindful witness and into awake awareness. Deliberate mindfulness focuses on the contents of consciousness, while effortless mindfulness turns back to be aware of the context, awareness itself. With deliberate mindfulness, we discover who we are not. With effortless mindfulness, we discover who we essentially are. Effortless mindfulness does not lead to being detached from emotions, but rather to both feeling more vulnerable and having more capacity to be tender and welcoming of all feelings. I want to read that sentence again, please. It says, effortless mindfulness does not lead to being detached from emotions, but rather to both feeling more vulnerable and to having more capacity to be tender and welcoming of all feelings. And I keep getting this picture in my mind as I read this. There's a scene in I Heart Huckabees where who's the actor? Dustin Hoffman is trying to teach a student how to meditate, and as he does that, the particles of the student and the air around and everything in the background, they kind of just kind of meld and shift, and you know, and so it's like pixels just, you know, moving together, and so there's no, you know, in my example, there's no place where Jacqueline ends. You know, I don't end here at the end of my nose or my cheekbones or the top of my head. And it's a pixelation, right? And all the pixels of life and life's energy and everything, there are no borders. They actually are interchangeable, and that's the image that I get in my mind with this discussion. And certainly, we've talked about that before, about how when we drop into awareness, watching awareness, everything gets a little bit softer. All the edges of everything get softer. And so I think that's a genuine experience of the way things really are, as opposed to the way we imagine them to be, with everything, you know, having these hard borders. I stop here, you start there, the table starts here, ends there. I just don't think it's actually like that. I think we formulate it in our mind so that we can, you know, get around in the world. But that's not really the way it works. And I think science would confirm that. And I hear my kitty, who would like to be in this room, and so I'm going to let her in. I'll be right back.
You want to be in here? Come on.
Okay. So let's see. Locke says, the radical reports from my students are that our essential nature is loving, joyous, and free of worry, and we just need to untie the knots of conditioning to reveal these natural qualities. Our essential nature is loving, joyous, and free of worry, and we just need to untie the knots of conditioning to reveal these natural qualities. Locke says, one student who came to a day-long retreat was a dance and yoga teacher, originally trained in Russia as a ballerina. She said she had never before done a practice like effortless mindfulness. Near the end of the day, after doing a variety of effortless mindfulness glimpses, she said, I am crying with joy because for the first time in my life, I am able to intentionally feel fully embodied. This feeling of being aware of my body from within and from everywhere only happens once in a while. Embodiment is not just being in my body, but feeling connected to everything and everybody. It is what I love most about yoga and dance, and I chase it, but I never knew how to access it directly until now. That's just real sweet. That confirms that thought of it being just real fluid. Our relationship with everything is fluid. This is page 38, a section called Leaving the Witness Protection Program. Locke says, some of this sound familiar. Like maybe I read it before, which I think is interesting. Maybe I started the wrong place. So I'm just taking a second to see. Yeah, I started the wrong place. How about that? So I reread y'all some stuff you've heard before, which is cool, I guess, because that's what it is. So I am reorienting here to figure out where the heck we actually are. We had actually started looking at the five foundations of mindfulness, which is several pages forward of where I am. And just funny stuff. I'm just as tickled as I can be. I hope you're tickled too. I'm not quite sure here, but I think that we were actually in these five foundations of effortless mindfulness. He was comparing effortless mindfulness to these five foundations to the traditional four foundations of mindfulness from Buddhism. And he gave us these five foundations, and I will read those. We'll read the list of those to you. One, awareness of awake awareness. Two, awake awareness as aware of itself. Three, awareness from awake awareness energy. Four, awake awareness energy embodied. And five, open-hearted awareness. And I think we had definitely gone over the foundation one, awareness of awake awareness. Hey, Susan, I know that you're following along in the book. You don't have it marked, do you, where we were last time? No? Okay, wasn't your job. Just thought you might.
No, and I'm on a Kindle, too, so I'm just having to flip, so sorry.
Yeah, well, right. And so right now I'm on page 48, foundation one, awareness of awake awareness. So I guess that's good as a place to start as any. So we'll do that. All right. He says the first foundation of effortless mindfulness can be discovered by unhooking local awake awareness from thought and the thinker. The radical premise here is that we are already the awake awareness that we seek. Awake awareness is currently attached to or identified with the contents of consciousness. Yet awake awareness is intelligent and the source of being, knowing, and even doing. So local awake awareness can detach or unhook from the small mind and small self and return home to non-local awake awareness-based knowing. Local awake awareness is to awake awareness as the air in a bubble is to the open air. Local awareness is interconnected with what it knows directly. So it replaces mental attention as a way to focus. I want to read that sentence again. Local awareness is interconnected with what it knows directly. So it replaces mental attention as a way to focus. Even though you might not intellectually understand the instructions or believe that you can do this, simply and curiously allow local awareness to unhook and know spacious, awake awareness. Another way to describe this first foundation of effortless mindfulness is local awake awareness is aware of spacious awake awareness. Foundation two, awake awareness as aware of itself. The second foundation of effortless mindfulness is awake awareness becoming aware of itself, by itself, as itself. This movement requires going beyond all references to thinking, senses, doing, and all forms of energy to discover the contentless, timeless, empty, boundless source of knowing and being. This stage is the realization that awake awareness is always already awake by itself without any help or effort. It is the important shift to direct recognition of the new operating system, awake awareness, rather than stopping in the gap of not knowing or no self. Awake awareness, aware of itself, requires a letting go, and the way of perceiving this shift is subtle, because it is a non-conceptual way of knowing, a not knowing that knows. This is the realization that awake awareness is the source of intelligence and the boundless ground of our essential identity. There is no need to stay in this pure awake awareness for lengthy periods of meditation, as unhooking from small mind and opening to a vast source of mind usually takes from 3 seconds to 3 minutes, as you will see with the mindful glimpses in this book. Another way to describe this second foundation of effortless mindfulness is spacious awake awareness is aware as spacious awake awareness, which is already aware. Well, that sounds like a Cohen, doesn't it? Say what? Yeah, Susan.
I've got a question. When he talks about, you know, it only takes 3 seconds to 3 minutes to come into awake awareness, I can buy that fully. But what happens to me when I sit down for a long period of meditation and know that I'm going to be meditating for quite a while, sometimes because I have that ample amount of space, it takes me a little bit longer than it can take me, you know, minutes to get to a space of awake awareness. Whereas when I'm doing these little gaps and these little games, I know that I've only got a focused amount of time. And I don't know if that's a mental thing. I'm questioning that. Is that a mental thing, or is that just myself opening up, the true self opening up to saying, this is it? You know, and you've got just a certain amount of time. I'm just wondering if anybody else has had that experience. When I allow myself more time, I take more time. But in these small glimpses, it does seem to be very impacting and very, very direct.
I think that's a fabulous insight, Susan. And it looks like Kate has something she wants to say about that. Kate?
Yeah, I totally get that. I And well, the thought is just common now that that's, it's like I'm tricking the thinking mind. It's like, you know, I'm going, oh, I'm only just going to be here for a second, you know, so don't you worry. I can get into this and I can open to it. Whereas if I go, oh, I'm going to sit down for an hour's meditation, it's like, wah, alarm bells. So yeah, that, well, that's just what comes to me right now, but definitely I experience that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's human nature, true nature, you know,
Yeah.
Something beyond myself jumps in and takes that gap, that small gap, and uses it so well, so fast, so perfectly.
Yeah.
Whereas human nature tells me, like you said, I've got plenty of time to just settle in, you know, think a few thoughts.
I have a thought about this, Susan, that just popped into my head. When you sit down to meditate, you possibly, or one, maybe even myself, is, oh, I have a certain amount of time to meditate. Right away, when you say the word time, the mind instantaneously gets involved because it's a concept. And when there seems to be no time, oh, I'm just going to do this for whatever, and you don't even think about time because you know you don't have much of it. It's like that concept is no longer there as a barrier or a blockade, because that's how the mind is utilizing its functionality to be a block, the block to awareness and the longer meditation.
Yeah, that's a great, great point, Dawn. And I think sometimes too, that's why guided meditation, starting off a meditation with guided meditation is so, so helpful to, you know, focus those thoughts that would obviously be straying somewhere else if I were, you know, left to my own devices and concepts. Thanks.
I would agree with that.
Okay, ladies, excellent discussion. Thank you for bringing that up, Susan. yeah, and I'm with whoever said, you know, if you got time, you got all the time in the world. You know, I can, like, you know, do my laundry list. I mean, do my grocery list or whatever, right? Because I'm gonna meditate here in a minute. I'm gonna get right into this. right? But if I'm only giving myself 3 seconds, I've only got 3 seconds. I know how to. I really know how to go there, and can go there quickly. And as you said, Susan, something, the real me, the true me comes in and just takes over that time. This is the time that's been given, and I'm going to utilize it. I don't know. It's an interesting discussion. So thank you for bringing it up for us. Let's see. We're going to look at Foundation 3. And as I was reading these, I'm like, I was wondering, it just seems like forever since I've been here, and I think my mind, I'm a little hazy today anyway, but it's like, well, what is he trying to tell us about these foundations? So I'm going to back up for just a second and look at why we're even going over these foundations. He says, on page 48, he says, moving through these five foundations of effortless mindfulness allows us to untie the knots of limited perception, knowing, and identity. We shift from focusing on the contents to focus on the context of consciousness, awareness itself. Rather than focusing on the contents, we begin the five foundations of effortless mindfulness by opening to what or who is aware of these contents. He says, we first shift to awake awareness as the foundation of a new level of mind. This allows us to become more energetically embodied and interconnected with everything as we move through the foundations. We continue to discover a new way of seeing and being from open-hearted awareness to live a compassionate and creative life. That was his introduction to the five foundations of effortless mindfulness. So let's look at the third foundation, Foundation 3, awareness from awake awareness energy. This is on page 50 of his book. He says the third foundation of effortless mindfulness is the stage of turning as awake awareness back to knowing things directly. We moved from foundation one, being aware of awake awareness, to foundation two, being aware as awake awareness, and arrive at foundation three, being aware from awake awareness energy. When we are aware from awake awareness of any movement inside or thing outside, we realize that we are interconnected with that which we are aware of. We discover the direct experience of formless awake awareness appearing as interconnected, energetic aliveness. In Theravada Buddhism, this insight is called interdependent arising. And we talked about that in our MPP course. My recollection was we talked about interdependent co-arising, but it's all the same thing, I think. he says, in Tibetan Buddhism, it's called one taste, or the union of emptiness and appearance. Locke uses the term awareness energy for this feeling of the intelligent, interconnected, dynamic, all-pervasive field from which our awareness arises into form. Unlimited, unbound potentiality of life. It might also be called, I think that that's what's being referred to here. I think it might also be called the quantum field. Again, he says, I use the term awareness energy for this feeling of the intelligent, interconnected, dynamic, all-pervasive field from which our awareness arises into form. This occurs when awake awareness begins to be aware of anything and everything. Awake awareness is not a detached observer, but is interconnected with what it is aware of. In the first shift of deliberate mindfulness, we realize we are not our thoughts. This form of insight meditation is done by disidentifying with thought and creating a detached mindful witness that experiences thoughts as separate objects. In this stage of effortless mindfulness, the subject and object unify when awareness becomes aware as thoughts, feelings, sensations, and energy without becoming reattached or reidentified. And that's awfully wordy. but we talked about this a little bit last night in General Healing when we talked about what ego does. Ego being a separation mechanism, what ego does is ego rejects. Ego distinguishes and rejects. And Gina Lake was talking about in her book, In the World But Not Of It, was talking about us being both human and divine. And so our divinity embraces our humanness. We don't reject it. Rejection is the separation mechanism. And this is about recognizing, you know, that there can be nothing outside of the one. It's all one. Again, it's drawing those boundaries, you know, I end here and you start there and the table, you know, is solid in here. And, you know, I mean, it's just, that's just not how it works. That's the way we think of things as an organizing mechanism, but it's not really how things work. And all these words that he's written here on this page that I have highlighted in yellow seem to be pointing to that same idea. He says, in this stage of effortless mindfulness, the subject and object unify when awareness becomes aware as thoughts, feelings, sensations, and energy without becoming reattached or re-identified. So it just kind of feels like being that observer without believing the illusion of, you know, separateness, separate solidity for the things that we see around us. He says this is important because many people go from awareness of awareness to a big sky, no self-witness that experiences thoughts, feelings, sensations as if they are separate objects, like birds or clouds, moving through the sky of awareness. This no self-witness is going backward to a mindfulness state of what's called choiceless awareness. In contrast, awareness energy is the experience of knowing everything as dancing awake awareness from within and all around. And again, you kind of get that, you know, that pixelated idea that it's all, you know, just a big dance. It's not solid here and solid there. Yeah. He says, when awake awareness knows movement or appearance, it knows it as awareness energy. Awake awareness is still the primary ground, but it is inseparable from the thoughts, feelings, and sensations that are made of awake awareness. There is a feeling of subtle unity and interconnection while simultaneously experiencing things as particular and separate on the physical level. I will read that sentence again. He says, there's a feeling of subtle unity and interconnection while simultaneously experiencing things as particular and separate on the physical level. Another way to describe this third foundation of effortless mindfulness is spacious awake awareness, aware from awareness energy. Foundation four, awake awareness energy embodied. The fourth foundation of effortless mindfulness is awake awareness energy embodied as ground of being. And he's capitalized ground of being. The fourth foundation of effortless mindfulness is awake awareness embodied as ground of being. This is when awake awareness energy moves and includes the dancing emptiness of the union of formless awake awareness and our human form. At first, form is discovered to be emptiness, and now emptiness is discovered to be form. The unique thing here is that embodiment does not mean just your particular body, but knowing your body is connected to all bodies and all things. The Vietnamese Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh calls this realization inter-being. To put it another way, awake awareness energy is the ground of our being, but our being is not limited to our human body's boundary. We experience our no-self self, both as the ocean of awareness energy and as the arising of the unique wave of our humanness. People who practice effortless mindfulness at this stage report feeling boundless with emotional boundaries and interconnected with a sense of embodied well-being. So let me read that one again because it didn't quite make sense in my mind. So he says, people who practice effortless mindfulness at this stage report feeling boundless with emotional boundaries and interconnected with a sense of embodied well-being. He says, we feel united with all things in a web of living presence that I call the realization of the ground of being, the unity of the infinite and the finite. Another way to describe this fourth foundation of effortless mindfulness is awareness energy, aware from within and all around as all-pervasive and embodied. I'm going to read that again. Another way to describe this fourth foundation of effortless mindfulness is awareness energy, aware from within and all around as all pervasive and embodied. Okay, foundation five, open-hearted awareness. The fifth foundation of effortless meditation is awareness from open-hearted awareness or heart mind. Effortless mindfulness in its fullness could be called effortless heart mindfulness because knowing has shifted from conceptual small mind to awake awareness-based knowing to being aware from open-hearted awareness. From here, local awareness replaces attention as the way to focus internally and externally in an interconnected way. From effortless mindfulness at this stage, we sense that we can know information as needed without referring to thought. We can remain at home in our heart mind and have thoughts come to us from the office in our head via Wi-Fi. He says, from this stage, many people report that they feel the coming together of a boundless heart and a tender human heart. Many say that they feel that they are looking out of the eyes of the heart. This heart mind is not the physical heart, heart chakra, or emotional heart, but compassionate intelligence that is like a continuous intuition. They describe an experience of unconditional love, non-fear, non-worry, and non-shame.
Call from 7193328879.
He says, this heart mind is not the physical heart, heart chakra, or emotional heart, but compassionate intelligence that is like a continuous intuition. They describe an experience of unconditional love, non-fear, non-worry, and non-shame. This feeling is important, both the vast openness and the quality of support, because our small mind or sub-personalities may try to scare us back to the small separate self or ego manager by saying, this is new. This is strange. There's not a lot of chatter or information. I think there could be a danger. The good news is that you'll be able to feel the safety of the ground of being as the foundation of open-hearted awareness. You can begin to welcome your fearful parts and to trust your intuitive, wise, loving intelligence. Another way to describe this fifth foundation of effortless mindfulness is an all-pervasive awareness energy expressing as intelligent, interconnected, loving, open-hearted awareness, which is able to focus using local awareness. What's going on? Shauna. Oh, Shauna can't tell me because she's at the library. All right. The phone call and Jay, stop it. yeah, that's good, Jay. All right, so well, let's finish up and then we'll have another. by the way, I apologize for being out of it today, but that's just the way I'm showing up today. So there you go. So let's read this last little section before we do another glimpse practice. He says, of this section is called Inner and Outer Doorways. He says, when working through the five foundations of effortless mindfulness, I have found that it is important to acknowledge different learning styles and doorways. Some people find it easier to access awake awareness by going deeply inward, hearkening to the adage, the kingdom of heaven is within, while others access awake awareness by opening outward, connecting to awake awareness that is greater than the small self. We can call these inner doorways and outer doorways. Whichever doorway we start with, we will end up being aware both from spaciousness and from within ourselves simultaneously. The mindful glimpses and the effortless mindfulness approach use both the outer and inner doorways to have local awareness shift through each of the five foundations of effortless mindfulness. And again, we were given a great gift last week with Regina. Y'all are still giggling. You are so funny. I think that's lovely, but I think that I'd like to hear the giggles and not just see them. So somebody who's giggling needs to unmute and so we can hear it. Come on, come on.
No, this is happening before when, like, I was in school. Like, you're trying, we're all, Shauna, me, Susan, we're trying not to laugh. And it's just like, it wants to escape us. And the more you try not to laugh, it's just like, it's just like, that's what happens.
It's like being at church.
And when I would see her trying to suppress her laughter, she even went off camera for a second. I was like, then it was making me want to laugh because I was like, oh, I can't keep it inside. It's happy though. It's joy. We're happy.
I think it's, I'm sure not calling you out for it. I just wanted to hear it because I had been focused on the book and reading and I look up and everybody's just like, you know, covering their mouth. It's great. It's great.
Adolescent. It's all Jay's fault. He started it. And look, where'd he go?
Come back, Jay.
Face it.
He's hiding. There he is.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
Shame on you, Jay. No, no. We love you, Jay, even when you're a troublemaker.
Hey, this is the joy of awakening. This is why you want to be live in the sanctuary.
But not when you have vertigo, Jacqueline. I'm so sorry. That makes it worse.
That's great. I enjoy seeing all you all enjoy each other. So thank you for doing that, for being there and for doing that. And thank you, Jay, for getting this whole thing started. No, you accept your responsibility. We're going to keep responsibility there with you. Yes, Cheryl, I saw your message earlier. Thank you very much for the offer of the vertigo medicine. I think I may just do an online doctor's visit today because this is a little bit more than I anticipated.
Hey, have you ever done any of the exercises like upside down and then tilting your head, that sort of thing?
No, ma'am.
I get vertigo a couple of times. I've had it a couple of times really bad. Can I email you a little exercise to try? I mean, nothing works for me like this, and it's not instant usually, but it helps.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you. You have my email address, right?
Somewhere. Yes, I'll find it.
Or Dawn will type it for you. She's getting ready to do that right now. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Susan. Thank y'all. Takes a village. I appreciate y'all taking care of me. We are, let me find a short one because we're about out of time here for our last glimpse of this program. Anyway, I was going to say of the day, but no, don't make it. Oh, and what I was getting ready to say when we were doing all that giggling was how blessed we were to have received, those of us at the retreat, received the, book, the Awareness Games book from Regina, and we're all blessed to have been introduced to Brian, Tom O'Connor. There it is. Who's teaching us to do these very things, these very glimpses that keep us aware, both from spaciousness and from within ourselves simultaneously. I mean, he's got the same sorts of glimpses that Locke Kelly has brought to us, and we're just blessed to have the opportunity to practice them. I'm going to end. We've got 3 minutes. I'm going to end with this glimpse. Okay, so here's the glimpse. It's called The Peace Within. Close your eyes. Contemplate this question. What is here now if the peace you are seeking is already here? What is here now if the peace you are seeking is already here? Did you want me to say something?
Anything to end.
I thought I did. I love you. Thank you. See you next time. Bye.
We love you.